Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So good to see you. Somebody said good morning, Bridget. I don't know who it was. Good morning. Hello. It's me, Ed. I'm right here live in the flesh. Well, I'm kind of live for those of us in our virtual space. Well, I'm live, but I'm also in the flesh. So, all right, so I should get started. We could just sit here and chit-chat for 20 minutes. I guess that would be an example of being in the moment if we did that. And we get reminded of that a lot. Be in the moment. Be in this present moment. And Eckhart Tolle even reminds us, most humans are never fully present in the now because unconsciously they believe that the next moment must be more important than this one. But then you miss your whole life, which is never not now. You want me to see that again? But then you miss your whole life, which is never not now. The challenge with that is we, of course, carry our past with us in the form of memories, and we carry the future with us in the form of our hopes and dreams and aspirations. And studies show that we humans actually aren't all that good at staying present. They find that as in the collective, humans spend about 50% of our time thinking about the past or the present. And guess what? Doing so does not make us happy. It's likely because a lot of times when we're thinking about the past, we're thinking of the painful past. And it's bringing up resentment and anger, those kind of feelings, regrets. Or if we're thinking about the future, we get all worried about it. What if it doesn't turn out? What if this or that happens? So the past brings up anger a lot of times, or pain, and the future brings up worry. And despite all this encouragement to stay in the present, sometimes the present can be troubling. If we're feeling like we don't have what it takes to deal with what we need to deal with this moment, we might feel anxious or overwhelmed. So all three of these times I'm calling, the past, present, and future, can seem challenging. The good news is we are centers for spiritual living, and we have spiritual tools and techniques that will help us deal with all three of these times. In fact, I'm going to propose today that there's a specific technique or spiritual practice that's perfectly designed to deal with each one of these, past, present, and future. So starting with the past. So some past memories are really good. We spend a few moments there, remembering fond moments with those that we love, or a favorite vacation, or that time when we accomplished a really big goal. We tell stories and we laugh and we reminisce. And then there are times when we think about the past and it's not at all pleasant. And that's the difference between those memories and the good memories of the past is the ones that are painful, we can get stuck in those. The good ones, we can tell a great story and then go on with our day. But the painful memories, sometimes we just really get stuck there. We're like, it comes up over and over and over. And if you're like me, sometimes it comes up over and over and over for years. Right? And we feel the same emotions a lot of times that we felt when that painful experience first happened. We feel the pain, which makes us angry or resentful or envious or whatever it is. And we just get stuck there. And despite us saying that we don't want anything to do with that person, we don't want anything to do with that event, we sure give them a lot of power. Because we bring them with us into the present in a not very productive way. So, of course, the problem here is unforgiveness. And many sources tell us that unforgiveness is like ingesting poison and then waiting for the other person to die. Right? Or unforgiveness is finding you've been in prison, but all along you had the key and you didn't let yourself out. Steve Maraboli reminds us that forgiveness, it's not because they deserve it, it's because you do. Sometimes forgiveness is about loving yourself enough to move on. You know, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in his sermon, Love in Action, spoke a lot about forgiveness. And he based it on one of what's called Jesus' last seven words on the cross when he said, Jesus, forgive them for they know not what they do. And Dr. King called this Jesus' finest hour because he was able to forgive while still in the midst of the pain and agony. It's a form of love. It's a form of compassion. And so forgiveness can be compassion for other people and compassion for ourselves. It is love in action. So if the problem is dwelling too much on the past, the solution is very often forgiveness. And a couple forgiveness exercises or spiritual living forgiveness exercises that you can try are, one, you can journal about it and write about it, but in a very detailed way. I'm talking about like go through it all, write it all out. Who was involved? What happened? How did it make you feel? How does it make you feel today when you think about it? What core belief about yourself, about your world, got upended by that event? How is it affecting you today, still carrying that around? Is there anything you want to say to the people involved or to the event? Maybe write a letter that you never send. It's one forgiveness exercise. Another one is what I call like embodied releasing. Make your own ritual. As y'all know about me now, I like to involve my body and my spiritual practice. So you can do a whole forgiveness ritual. Make it meaningful for you. What do you want to release? What do you want to claim in its place? Do you want music? Do you want movement? Do you want dance? Do you want to write it down and then burn it? Or dissolve it in water, or rip it up and give it to the wind, or put it in the bottom of a potted plant so something good comes from it. Some sort of ritual that helps you embody this forgiveness, this releasing of the anger and the pain, and then accepting something positive in its place. I did this years ago because I'd been carrying around anger around my father for some things that happened in our home when I was a child. And so I went with a practitioner friend of mine and we went camping in the Utah desert. And at night we hiked up to a mesa top. And let's just say there was fire, there were drums, there was dancing. It was awesome. And it worked. So you can do something like that. Another forgiveness exercise comes to us from the indigenous peoples of Hawaii, Ho'oponopono, Ho'oponopono. And this is a forgiveness and love exercise that can actually be used across times, even with people who have already passed. And it's a little more suited for when you need to ask for forgiveness or when you want to forgive yourself, when you need to forgive yourself for something. And it's quite simple. All you say is, where is it? I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. So let's just say that out loud together. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. Say it several times, 7, 8 times when you're in a quiet state. Set your watch to go off or your phone to go off every hour and take a minute to do this throughout the day. Do it for several days. It can really make a difference. So if you're stuck in the past, forgiveness is the spiritual living you might want to try. Now, if you're stuck in the present, that's different. The present and being stuck or worried about the present can be, I don't think I'm up for the task at hand. I don't even know what the task at hand needs to be. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. I don't know if I can do this. I just don't know where my path is today. I'm feeling very anxious. The problem here is we're feeling separation. We're feeling separate from the one spirit, from our inner guidance, from our source. We're lacking confidence because we have forgotten about our divine self. The solution here is meditation. We do that every Sunday here at the beginning of our service. We have a moment of silence. But in case you're wondering, what am I supposed to do during that moment when it's quiet and a little bit dark? Or if you're a regular meditator but you want some new ideas, maybe something in here will be new. One form of meditation you could try is like a concentration meditation where you visually focus on something. You know, the ancient Kabbalist, Kabbalah is a mystical aspect of Judaism, and the Kabbalists long ago would teach a meditation where you just sit and look at light reflecting on water. Really peaceful. I've done this many times on the Willamette River in the early morning when I'm riding my bike. Just look at light reflecting on water. You could pick a tree or a cloud or a point in the distance, or even if you're inside, pick something that's on your altar or flowers or something in your home and just stay focused on that thing. And the reason this is important, as Lao Tzu reminds us, is to the mind that is still, the whole universe surrenders. And from the Buddha, if you let cloudy water settle, it will become clear. If you let your upset mind settle, your course will also become clear. Another idea for meditation is to basically give your mind something to focus on. Because meditation is not turning off the brain. There's a misconception that meditation means I must be perfectly serene and my mind is not working. The mind is designed to work and it's going to work as designed. Okay, so give it a bone. Give it something to do. Okay? Give it something to do. You can focus on your breath, which is really feeling your breath. Feel the whole inhale. Feel what it in your body what it feels like to exhale. You can count 1, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, pause for 2, exhale for 4. You might want to use a mantra like Om. That's a very common one. It was the first one my doctor, my actual medical doctor, prescribed for me years ago, was just Om. And now the one that we just sang here, thank you, Lori, is God is, I am. And a lot of times when I do that one, I focus the word, or I imagine or visualize those words, God is, I am. I focus or imagine those words on my heart. It gives my mind something to do. You can try a chant as a meditation, such as, I am healthy, I am wise, I am at peace. Especially if you do it with mala beads, then you give your hands something to do too. Just say that over and over. And we have a Science of Mind chant. Does anybody know it? A few people probably know it. We're going to do it here. You can join in when you know it. I'll get the rhythm going. It's okay. There is only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. There is only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. There is only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. This might help settle your mind so you can enter into prayer or some other form of meditation. So if you're stuck in the past, forgiveness. If you're anxious about today, meditation. And if you're worried about tomorrow, the answer is prayer. A lot of times when we're thinking about tomorrow, I'm going to set this somewhere else. I'm going to leave it right there. Okay. Wants to be on the floor, yes. So worrying about the future, the reason thinking about the future doesn't make us happy is because it looks like this. Well, what if I try and I fail? What if I don't get the promotion? What if so-and-so wins the election? What if? What if it's not good news? What if something happens? And the problem here is loss of faith. Loss of faith that we are loved and cared for. Loss of faith that we have access to everything we need. And it's thinking we have to figure it out. We don't have to figure it out. Our job is to set the intention, to claim it, to commit to it, and then let it go in faith, and then wait for that inspiration on what is the right action at the right time. When we get into our figure it out brain, or what I've been accused of, analysis paralysis, when we get in there, that's just worry. And the answer is prayer. Now, we hear prayer every Sunday here. Our practitioners always lead us in prayer at the beginning. And in case you don't know what they're doing a five-step affirmative prayer. Step one, recognition, recognizing the one light, the one divine presence that is in, through, and as all creation. It's the only thing that has ever gone on, is going on now, or ever will go on in the universe. It's recognition. Step two, unification. We are part of it. There is no separation, never, ever. You might feel it, but that's the illusion. There is no separation. Step three is realization. Accept and affirm your good as already accomplished. And the reason we do that is so we can really feel it. Because it's not just change your thinking, change your life. We hear that all the time. It's really more accurate to say change your beliefs, change your life. Our words and our thinking reflect our underlying beliefs. So it's the sum total of our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs that make prayer effective. So we have to accept it as done now so we feel it and we believe it. Step four, gratitude for it already being done. Step five, release it and let it go. So we're going to do that now. Okay. So I'm going to invite you to think of one or two prayer requests you have. Just think of it to yourself. And I'm going to lead us in a five-step affirmative prayer. I'm going to do steps one and two. I'm going to do recognition and unification. And when I give you your cue, you're going to do step three in your own mind. Silently. Use your body if you want to. Sometimes I'm like moving all over the place, you know, whatever. But you're going to do step three in your own mind, and then I'm going to close this out with steps four and five. All right? Yeah. And then after that, Lori and Ken are going to lead us in a little gratitude for our prayer, a little gratitude song together. All right, so take a few seconds and think of your prayer request. I always like to start my prayer with a deep breath, kind of drop into my heart space and get calm. And I start in profound gratitude for that one loving presence, that love that is so big that it must express. It couldn't tolerate, it couldn't stand not expressing itself, which is love. It chose to express. It chose to come into creation. It chose to go from word to form just so it could know itself, so it could experience all of itself, so it could dance its dance, so it could dance its life in through and as its creation, so it could have the joy, so it could have the love, so it could experience the beauty and the abundance and the peace and the wisdom and the strength of its own being. It's the only thing that has ever happened. It is the only thing happening now. It is the only thing that will ever happen. It is the Alpha and the Omega. It is the seen and the unseen. It is all the universe that we know and all the universes that we don't yet know about. It is the depths of the oceans. It is the far cosmos. It is the stars at night and the moon. It is that perfect gravity, that perfect balance of gravity that lets the universe expand and accelerate, but not so much gravity that it collapses on itself. It's perfect amount of gravity that lets this universe be what it is, that brings us peace in the night sky, that gives us that awe experience when we see those telescope photos and we just go, oh my God. No truer statement perhaps has been said than, oh my God, look at that. It is the birds singing, it is children at play, it is the rest of good sleep. It is the inspiration of creativity, it is the joy of community, it is the bond of family and friends, it is the sweetness of forgiveness. It is the guidance of the inner Atman. It is the all and be all and end all. And I am grateful for it. I'm so grateful that I get to be part of it. That one life, that one spirit called me forth and named me and gave me a purpose and sees fit to live itself through me and as me. And that the same truth is true for every single person in the sound of my voice. That one life that chose to create every single person here and said, yes, my beloved child, you are me and I am you. You are my life, my everything. And that is true for every human being that ever has been, is now, or ever will be. It is true for all of life, such that we are not separated from any of it. We are entangled particles throughout the cosmos. We are as much a part of the universe as the stars and the moons and the trees and the mountains and the earth and the birthplace of galaxies. For God's dance is not a complete dance without us. The universe's family portrait isn't complete without every single one of us. Or maybe I should say its self-portrait is not complete without every single one of us, for we are one, and we are one family, one human family throughout the ages. And because of this, because we are one with the one life and we are expressing it and is expressing us, our good desires are, of course, met and delivered and manifested. So in this moment, I invite you to just silently to yourself, claim the good that you desire in present language. It is done now. It is. And just say this to yourself, and we'll sit in silence for a moment. Just keep repeating that affirmation. Let yourself visualize it. What does it look like, smell like, taste like, feel like, sound like? What does your life look like as this prayer done, completed, manifested? And sit with that for a moment. It is a glorious thing to know our prayers are answered. It is a glorious thing to know that we get to claim our good. That is the Spirit's good pleasure to say, yes, my child. And because there's no private good, I also know that when we claim our good, we claim the same good for all of our human family. And I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for that life that gave us that power to co-create with it, that not only brought us forth, that said, but also said, you have my consciousness, you have my power, you have my ability to co-create. Your word is my word. So dance with me. And for that, I'm grateful. We get to choose. We are at choice always. We get to choose our good and claim it. We get to let go of the past, let go of the pain, let go of the unforgiveness, let go of the anger and the resentment and the regrets. We get to say, I'm grateful to be alive today. Today, I'm grateful to be alive. Today is a good day to start again. Today is a good day to claim my good. And I do it, and I'm grateful. So with deep, deep gratitude for the givingness of the one life and the one spirit, with deep gratitude that it gives to all, that it is no respecter of person, meaning it does not play favorites, never has, never will play favorites. All of its children are its children. And I'm grateful for that. So with deep gratitude, I release these words, these prayers, these aspirations, these good desires on behalf of everyone in the sound of my voice. I release them to that creative alchemy, that magic that the human mind in me doesn't understand, but the heart and soul of me says, well, yeah, of course, that's how it is. So I let it go and I let it be. And we say together, and so it is. Now I invite Lori and Ken. We're going to anchor this in with a little gratitude. I invite you, as you are able, to stand. And those in our virtual space, whoever you are, invite you to stand as well. This is a familiar Karen Drucker sound, and of course, I asked you to stand, so of course it has movements. But the movements are very obvious. They are the song, and Lori's gonna sing for us.
I'm so grateful is the song.
And you can sing along if you like.
Gratitude before me, gratitude behind me, gratitude to the left of me, gratitude to the right of me, gratitude above me, gratitude below me, gratitude within me, gratitude all around me. I'm so grateful. 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 Gratitude before me, gratitude behind me, gratitude to the left of me, gratitude to the right of me, gratitude above me, gratitude below me, gratitude within me, gratitude all around me. I'm so grateful. 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 I'm so grateful.
Thank you for your prayers.
You're welcome.
So, forgiveness for the past, meditation for the present, prayer for the future.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.